Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And this is the competitive program.
Yes.
This is the Chef Showdown. Dan Roderick's, who we used to appear on his program every couple of weeks, a month or so, he would start having us compete against each other.
And he would make it easy on me and hard on you.
Because he loved
you. I love Dan. I love Dan Roderick's. He's awesome.
He's like, Cindy loves luxury ingredients, and he would give you lobsters.
He would give me all kinds of good
foie gras
stuff. And butter and cream.
And lots of fabulous cultured butter. And he would give you all these things with a big smile on his face. And then he would turn to me and he'd be like,
now, Tony,
you have turnips. And you have their greens.
Chicken livers.
And chicken livers. And one dried chili. Make your magic.
Make your magic. Make a full menu
make
with
your
that.
Magic, yeah.
Yep. That was fun, though. That's fun to do. Yeah. Well, and when you're in culinary school, you know, it's part of, well, at least at the Culinary Institute of America, where I went, twice before you graduate, you have these tests. One is before you go on externship, and one is right before you graduate. And it's called the practical exam. And you go into a room with maybe five or six of your classmates, and I had a certified master chef as my instructor for that. And you are given a tray out of a refrigerator with all these ingredients, and you are supposed to make a traditional or classic dish. And then you're tested on it. And if you don't pass your practical, you are not going on extern. And if you don't pass it just before graduation, you're not graduating. So it's very intense. And, you know, I don't think in any way was it terribly difficult, but I think it was the pressure of the situation and having to perform in front, well, especially in front of a certified master chef. So it's a fun thing. It's a good way to test people.
It's not just skills, but it's really kind of your thought process, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that, you know, that a chef that runs a kitchen has to do every day.
Yes.
A person that runs a household, you know, that has a kitchen in their home that wants to do good food for their family is going to do this really, I mean, for fun, for the joy of it, for, you know, economic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded, you were talking about your test at the CIA with a mystery basket. In hotel school, we used to have to go through culinary, you know, parts of it. And having been cooking for a long time when I was in school, and most of them not cooking, every time that there was a restaurant set up that was someone's plan, this was like the big senior project thing, the restaurant set up that was someone's plan, everyone's in a different segment, and you rotate through all the segments. Whenever they got rotated through, the instructors would have to eat the food at the end of the thing.
Oh, gosh.
I may have told you the story one time.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. McDonald was like, no, you can cook. I'm not eating this. You make me something. Go to the walk-in and make anything you want. It's going to be better than this.
Yes.
Because most of those guys couldn't
cook.
Well,
they're hotel. Yeah, they're front of the house people. So they were fortunate they had you with some real cooking background.
But that was the funny thing. I'd always see him like over in the corner by the dish room, you know, eating some, you know, tornadoes or something I made for him and turning up his nose at the other items.
A word to the wise, those of you chefs that want to open a restaurant, look for a front-of-the-house manager like Tony who has a good kitchen background, because it really makes for a much better working relationship. It's extremely important. And also, chefs, you should get some front-of-the-house experience. You know, it makes a big difference. You know, in order to have a successful restaurant, everybody needs to understand everybody else's job and work as a team. So,
all right, mystery basket time. Let's set the stage. So, The competitive portion of the program goes like this. Cindy gets to establish what her kitchen is, right? What she keeps in her kitchen.
Right, right.
I get to establish what...
You're talking about at home.
At home.
Yeah.
And I get to establish what I keep in my kitchen at home.
Which is going to be some really weird stuff, I'm sure.
No, just... Okay, well, maybe a few things. and then we're going to hand each other the things we have not seen, sheets of ingredients. And we're going to talk through, think out loud, exactly what sort of a meal we're going to put together with those ingredients.
Right away.
And we'll see exactly how many of these things get balled up into paper and thrown at one another during the course of the program.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so, all right, so tell us, that's going to sound official when I say kitchen parameters. So give us your kitchen parameters. What sort of cooking equipment do you have? What sort of stuff do you have in the cabinets? What's in your pantry?
Mm-hmm. In my pantry, I have usually two to three different types of extra virgin olive oil with different flavor profiles. Spicy to sort of pretty and flowery. I always have kosher salt. I always have a pepper mill filled with black peppercorns because I like to grind my pepper fresh. And then I have a few spices. I don't use a lot of spices.
You mean like dried spices?
Dried spices at home. I always have saffron because I really love saffron. But I'll have cayenne pepper, maybe chili powder, but some basic spices. Also, just because cooking at home, because I don't cook that often, I want to make sure my spices are fresh. So typically, if I need a spice, I might actually buy it and use it, and eventually I'll discard it within probably 6 months. So but basic spices are there. And then, you know, of course, other types of oils to work with. And and Tabasco. I don't have a lot of staples at home.
Any vinegar?
I always have a good aged balsamico. I always have sherry vinegar, aged sherry vinegar, because I love to work with that. And I do have raspberry vinegar as well.
How about in the pantry or basics in the fridge?
Okay, so always have a little bit of onion. I'll say I have garlic, which I don't, but we'll pretend for this use I do. I would buy garlic. Everything would be fresh. Honestly, my refrigerator is almost empty. So I have probably a pretty good
couple. You just have in there champagne and a couple of lemons?
Exactly. Yeah. I have a bottle of Marcou, a bottle of white in there, like three bottles of I have more than that. I have a lot of champagne cold at all times.
A girl has to be prepared,
that's
right?
Correct. Yeah. And a good piece of cheese. And the piece I have in my refrigerator, which is downstairs in my refrigerator, not in my upstairs refrigerator with my delicacies, I have Stinking Bishop, which is a new cheese. It's not a new cheese. It's an old cheese. They started making it in 1972.
Really, really sexy.
Oh God, yeah. It's awful.
The Stinking Bishop.
It smells so badly. I bought it for the first time yesterday. It comes from England.
If I offered you a cheese that smelled really badly, you would wrinkle your face up like it was the most horrible thing in the world.
But that's why I included it, because I know you love this kind of nasty, stinky cheese. It is, okay. Oh my gosh, it's so delicious, but it is really, really strong. So I put it downstairs in my nearly empty refrigerator. So I have basics. Now you know what I have.
All right.
Wait a minute. You said cooking implements. So I have every pot and pan you could ever wish for. I have a VitaPrep blender. Why are you sniggering? Of course I have all the pots and pans you would need.
That's a pretty broad statement. That's why.
Well, I can't think of any pan you would need that I don't have. So, yeah.
No black steel pans.
Actually, I don't.
See?
I don't cook with those at home.
I know.
I don't have black steel pans at home, although I wish I did. I'll have to buy some of those. I do have sizzle
pans. I don't know why I have to burst that bubble.
Because half sheet pans, all those things, bowls, you know, all that good stuff. I do have a KitchenAid mixer and what other equipment? I have a waffle. Well, we're not making waffles, but I have a waffle maker, which I just bought, which I'm excited about.
You don't know what your ingredients are going to be. You may need to make waffles.
And that's, yeah. Okay.
All right. So are you, now you set the stage in your kitchen. You want what's behind door number one?
Yes.
Door number two or Noah's Ark?
Oh, Noah's Ark.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
The tearing of the paper.
All right.
Okay, so by twos,
there's what you have. Everything by twos.
Oh, gosh. All right, so I have two whole guinea fowl. Wow. Two jalapenos, two grapefruit, two Charente melons, 2 pounds of egg pasta dough, 2 lobsters. I don't know what that word is. This is Tony's handwriting. 2 something shrimp stock. Yeah,
two gallons,
2 bunches of basil, 2 celery hearts, 2 carrots. Wow, 2 pounds slow roasted whole cherry tomatoes. That's nice. And 2 eggplant. Okay, cool. All right. So go for it. Oh, boy.
So
at least for a second.
Yeah. I mean, it could be lunch. It could be dinner. It could be brunch. It could be like tapas or a bunch of cocktails or a wine tasting. It could be snacks on the porch. If you watched football, it could be, you know, sandwiches for football.
I'm excited about the guinea fowl. I love guinea fowl, so I'm going to roast them. And I'm actually going to put the jalapenos inside of them and roast them with chopped big pieces of jalapeno and the celery and the carrots. I'm going to put all of that inside of the birds. And
you're going to use one of those onions that you have in your pantry?
And onion, right.
So sort of like a spicy mirepoix.
Celery, carrots, onion, jalapeno inside the guinea fowl. And I'm going to roll out my egg pasta dough, and I love the idea of having just beautiful, like, noodles, like fettuccine. So I'll do it all by hand, because that's fun. I like the feeling of pasta dough in my hand.
So you're going to roll it out and just cut it with a knife.
Exactly. So rustic. And my mom, I have my mom's pinwheel, so I could even roll it with that just to give it a little fun edge or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so egg pasta dough. And then, so with my pasta, my fettuccine, I'm going to toss it in the pan with the whole roasted cherry tomatoes a little bit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to really work that eggplant. So I'll roast it in the oven with extra virgin olive oil and salt and pepper until it's really, really tender and almost melting. And I'll pull that out, and I'm going to toss a little bit of that in with my and a little bit of garlic in with my pasta dough and the roasted cherry tomatoes. And I'll finish it with some of that basil, which is nice to have. And so that is the guinea fowl course.
So the guinea fowl roasted, served with the pasta, or the pasta served first?
No, I'm going to serve the guinea fowl. I'll pull the breast off the bone after it's roasted. I'll slice it and put it on top of that pasta. Mm-hmm. And with the legs, I'm going to add a little bit of, do I have bread? Can I put bread? Yeah. Is it, so I'm cooking this in my kitchen. I thought I was cooking it in your kitchen. Okay. Well, in my kitchen, I have, I always have good bread. Okay. I always have good bread. So I'm going to add some bread to this stuffing now.
Some bread or day old?
Yeah, day old bread. Saute it in a little bit of butter until it's almost like crispy. Mm-hmm. And then add that gorgeous stuffing. So the carrot, celery, and onion, and the jalapeno to it. And so I'll serve that with the legs. Okay, so mm-hmm. I have sort of serving a guinea fowl in two courses. Mm-hmm. The first course, the breast with the pasta. The second course, the leg with the stuffing. And then...
Oh my gosh, you're going to have...
I'm going to fill you up.
You're so full.
And then the first course prior to that. So what do I have left to use? I have lobsters and charente, melon, and grapefruit. Well, I'm going to make a salad. So I'll poach my lobsters and chill them. And actually, that would be really fun. The charente melon is so beautiful and sweet, and we're getting it locally now. So I'll do little melon balls. I'll use my Prigent scoop mm-hmm. and do melon balls of the charente, a little bit of lime juice and zest, a little bit of salt on the melon.
You have limes in your kitchen?
Uh-huh, always. I always have grapefruit. Actually, I always have grapefruit, limes, lemons, and oranges in my kitchen. I do. And then... the grapefruit, I'll do supremes. I hope it's pink grapefruit because that would be pretty with a melon. Mm-hmm. And just do a really simple salad with the lobster, the grapefruit, and the melon, and that
so
bit of lime.
So poach the lobster, chill it in the shell, then mm-hmm. crack it.
Yeah, and maybe even do like just nice citrus. Big medallions and have the citrus vinaigrette with it. And
dress it with the olive oil.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be fun. Okay. And so nice and refreshing before the two bird courses.
So you're going to use the shrimp stock to poach the lobster? Oh. So you're going to use the...
that's the only thing I'm missing.
Are you going to use that to make dessert?
I'll poach the lobsters in the shrimp stock. Actually, well, what I could do in order to use the shrimp stock is actually do a warm lobster salad and just warm the lobster in that and then have the cold fruit on the plate. And that way it uses the shrimp stock. Otherwise, I may ignore the shrimp stock and just do the chilled lobster salad.
Reserve the shrimp stock for another day.
Exactly. So that's menu number one.
That's good. And no sweet.
No sweet. Nope. Nope, we're just having a salad and an entree.
A salad and a guinea fowl in two servings.
Yeah, yes.
Two slightly starchy servings. But
I have some sorbet in my freezer, so we'll be having local,
very good.
Local honeydew sorbet for dessert.
Very good. Well, when we come back, Cindy is going to get a chance to put me through my paces in my kitchen on Former Wolf on Food & Wine.